Well, hello and howdy, folks. Welcome to another week here on Dan's Dabble in Babble. Unfortunately, this week I have no guest. I am going solo. I've got several guests, several interviews lined up for the next couple of weeks. So hoping to build up a nice library of guests as we move forward. But this week, we're back to the tried and true, the one, the only, Dan dabbling in Babble by my lonesome. So this week, I feel like I took a major step forward in becoming, I guess, a more official Tampa Bay native. So there is an event that happened this weekend, Gasparilla, which is this big parade, and it was a lot of fun. You know, I knew almost nothing about it. I went in with basically zero context. So I had heard Gasparilla before. I believe last year Gasparilla was canceled because of pandemic things. So this is the first time that there's been a Gasparilla since I've lived here. So I was excited to check it out and learn about it. And basically, for those who, like me, had no context, it is the concept is that Tampa is invaded by pirates, and there's this massive parade. Beads are thrown like at Mardi Gras. There's revelry, there's drinking, there's fun, there's different stages throughout Tampa where there are some bands playing. Heard a really interesting cover of Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar, which, you know, not mad about that. But no, it was a really good time. And, you know, I am not someone who typically gets into costumes. You know, it's something that I think, honestly, I would enjoy, but it's just like, it's never been like, I don't know. That's not the crowd that I run with, is a big costume crowd. And, you know, I don't know. I'm very low effort when I've had to do costumes. It's just not my thing. I've never been into face paint or makeup or anything like that. So, you know, the costumes only go so far with me. Don't really dress up at Halloween. I'm not a costume person, but everybody for Gasparilla dresses up as a pirate. So then Saturday morning, the morning of Gasparilla, again, I'm going into this with no context. So, you know, I asked around some of my friends to kind of see what they were doing and get some information. And then my boyfriend and I were just kind of riding our vibe and figuring it out as we went along. And so Saturday morning, I'm like kind of figuring out, and I like, it was really cold. It was in the 50s. And so, you know, if you were in the sun, it was fine, but it was, if the sun went behind the buildings, you know, it got cold. There were several moments in the day where it got cold, but you know, we had a full day. We had a very fun day. And I had a great time, but Saturday morning I'm kind of figuring out what I'm going to wear, and I keep on pulling out things that are blue, and I was informed that pirates do not wear blue. And I began to get a little frustrated because I was like, I wasn't warned that I was expected to have a costume. Anyway, long story short is I have red pants that I got to wear. So thank God I had these red pants and, you know, pulled together. You know, the thing is, you know, I this may shock you, but I don't own a lot of piratey things. But I was informed that blue things are not pirate-like. You really need red to dress like a pirate. So cobbled together something that I think was acceptable, and it was pirate adjacent. And you know, it's kind of the same concept as when people character bound when they go to Disney, which that's a whole culture. The Disney adult specifically is a culture that I don't know, I'm a little fascinated by, and really don't know that much about. I just, you know, I kind of marvel at people from the Midwest, which I'm from the Midwest, and really anybody not from Florida that will like go multiple times a year to the Disney theme parks in Orlando. And they're like all about it. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I love Disney. I love Disney property. I'm going to Epcot soon. I'm stoked. I haven't been to a Disney theme park since I was 8 years old. And I've never been to Epcot. So I'm super excited. And, you know, like, I think I'm going to have a lot of fun. I think I would have a lot of fun at the Disney theme parks. But my thing with the Disney adult thing, and I'm talking to people who, like, again, don't live here, but just go basically every chance they get and end up going multiple times a year. My whole thing is, you know, unless you're someone who just has so much time off and so much vacation, or traveling to Orlando for you is easy and it's like not really that big of a deal. But like the people that like have to take off work and like that's what they do for every vacation. I'm someone who I like to go new places and see new things. I mean, there's lots of places that I would love to go back and love to visit, and, you know, lots of places that I've visited many times. But I don't know, I just, like, I would think that it would get old after a while, and why would you not go see and do other things? But character bounding, for those of you who don't know, so apparently, and this is all very much secondhand information, so character bounding is when you dress up like a character from the Disney universe when you're visiting the Disney theme parks, because you are not... as I understand it, you are not allowed to be in costume at the Disney theme parks, which, I mean, obviously makes sense. You know, they have their characters. They don't want people dressed up in costume. But it's like wearing things that are inspired or like the same color scheme as your favorite princess or favorite character or what have you. And I guess that's called character bounding. And, you know, I think like that's something that I can definitely get on board with. Maybe I should character bound as something when I go to Epcot. I don't know. Do people character bound at Epcot, or is that just a Magic Kingdom thing? I don't know. What are the limits of character bounding? And who, because, you know, like, you know, ironically, one of my favorite characters, the first one that comes to mind of who I would character bound, is Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid. But, you know, he's kind of pirate vibey. So, you know, just ironic that I don't have, but maybe this is a reason for me to get like a nice ruffled white shirt, and I can character bound as Eric and then have a good pirate shirt for next year's Gasparilla. See, that's how you start thinking ahead. I don't know. So many questions. So many questions. I guess the first question is, do people character bound at Epcot? If I should character bound, who should I character bound as? Maybe that would be some fun listener input. Send me a tweet at Babbling Dan and let me know who I should character bound, and suggest what that even means. Suggest some things to character bound as that person. I don't know. My favorite Disney movie is probably Aladdin. But like, can I character bound as Genie? Is that a thing? Like, what would that even be? Would that just be wearing like light blues? I don't know. I apparently don't know enough to know, about character bounding. So perhaps, maybe this isn't going to come together the way that I would like it to, but all of this is to say, one, clearly I'm very excited about going to Epcot soon, and excited about the prospect of character bounding. All of this is to say is that basically at Gasparilla, we were kind of what I would say character bounding pirates. So it was like, we were not in full pirate costume, but, you know, the idea was there and we were successful in getting beads, had a lot of fun. And then it was getting very cold. So luckily, the apartment was not far, and had a great evening, just watching movies. And then today, we just watched so much Australian Survivor, which was such a great way to spend a cold Sunday. You know, we started with soups and sandwiches for lunch, which was just really nice and cozy. Had Chinese food for dinner. And just watched, seriously, so much Australian Survivor. I think we got through 7 episodes, and they're like, some of the episodes are over an hour long. So just let that sink in. So I absolutely love Survivor. I really am impressed by Australian Survivor. US Survivor used to be 39 days. This last season, I think, was 26 or 29 days. It was shorter because of the pandemic, which I don't necessarily fully understand. But anyway, Australian Survivor is 55 days, which is just such a long time to be stranded in the Survivor conditions. But I think the host is incredible. The challenges are really interesting. We were watching season one today, and the season one of Australian Survivor, that is, and the pre-merge game is just phenomenal in this season. There's a lot of really interesting characters. I'm still working my way through. I've got a lot of seasons of US Survivor to catch up on. But I gotta say that if you are into Survivor and you are itching for more, definitely check out Australian Survivor. There's a new season, I believe, starting tomorrow. I believe that it's going to be available on Paramount Plus, and the other seasons, I believe, are available on Paramount Plus. So certainly recommend that if you're a big Survivor person. I think the social strategy is just, I don't know. It's from what I've seen, it is just really solid, just classic Survivor. Not a lot of twists, but I will say the twists that they bring in. And so, I mean, kind of, Michelle Collins has a joke that basically, like, the producers of Survivor sit in a room and ask, like, how can we ruin this perfect show? Because the last season of Survivor, there were so many twists that I really didn't like the random fire twist where Deshaun's fate in the game was basically left up to chance. That was terrible. The turning back time twist, I didn't enjoy. I really didn't enjoy the way they did hidden immunity idols this year, with, you know, them having to be activated. And even the, like, risk your vote twist, there were just so many twists that it kind of cheapens the game. It screws up the dynamics of the purity of the game. Whereas the twists that I've seen so far in Australian Survivor, they're really interesting. I really like them. So in the first season, there's a twist where two tribes go to tribal council, and they go through tribal council and vote someone out. And after someone is voted out, they reveal that they haven't actually voted that person out. They were voting to send that person to the other tribe. And then that person got to pick one person from their tribe, from their old tribe, to come with them to the new tribe. So that was, like, a really cool way to do the tribe swap. And it was, like, kind of at the perfect time to really shake things up with the two tribes that were part of that twist. And I don't know, it just makes it really interesting. But, you know, you kind of see, it's and because it's such a longer game, I think that is kind of part of what has made the pre-merge so great, is that there's three tribes, but there's a lot more contestants to begin with too. So the three tribe game is really great. You know, in Survivor, US Survivor, a lot of times with three tribes, there will be like 6 people on each tribe to begin with, and then, like, as one tribe gets kind of decimated, it's a little bit too quick to do three tribes, but three tribes makes it really interesting. I think you see a lot of different dynamics, except in the case of this season, there was one tribe that was doing so well for so long. It's like you would see characters on episode 5 or 6, and it's like, who the heck is this person? Like, I've never seen them on screen before, because, you know, if that tribe isn't losing, then they're not having to go to tribal council. You're not understanding where their strategy is, where their game is. But it's a phenomenal show. If you like Survivor, it's wonderful. If you are someone who hasn't watched Survivor in a while or hasn't watched Survivor at all, I really recommend, and I would almost recommend, I recommend watching Survivor if you like good television, because it is a solid formula and it is just so interesting. The other thing that makes Australian Survivor fun is, one, just there's so many ridiculously attractive people on Australian Survivor, where like US Survivor, one of the nice things is like you really get the feeling that they are real people, and not that Australian Survivor doesn't have that, it certainly does, but it's just like they've clearly prioritized putting attractive people on the island, which is incredible. I think the host does a really nice job. Jeff Probst kind of annoys me sometimes. I hate to say it. I feel like that's not a popular opinion, and it is fine. It's just sometimes I don't know, like the tone of his voice gets grating after a while, and this is also coming from someone who, like, I have just binged so many seasons of US Survivor. So it's just like a lot of Jeff Probst. And I think Jeff Probst is good. I think Probst is good at tribal council. I think he does a lot of great things as a host. And I think being the host of that kind of a show is challenging. But it's also, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due, because there are so many things, like the rhythm, the way that the Australian host reads the votes at tribal council, the way that he announces challenges, and just the way that he interacts with the contestants. He clearly has studied the way Jeff Probst did something, and it's a winning formula and it works. But he does it exceptionally well. It's plus you get great Australian accents. So, you know, just lots of things to enjoy there. So, I mean, that was really my weekend. I'm coming up. There's life is busy, but life is just really nice. There's just a lot of interesting things going on over the next few weeks, and a lot of things that I'm excited about, but also just a lot of things that are keeping me busy. So, I think I'm going to end this week's episode here. I know this is a lower dose of babble than we're typically used to, just wanted to give you a little bit. And next week, I believe it's next week's episode. I should double check, but we're going to be unveiling a new sponsor soon. So that's really exciting. Just a lot of really cool things going on in the Dabble and Babble world. So give me a follow on Twitter at BabblingDan. Rate me wherever you listen to this podcast. Leave a review. That would really help the show, and just share the show as much as possible. You know, we're slowly and steadily growing our reach, which is incredibly exciting. And I talked last week about how, we're slowly beginning to cultivate some sponsorships. So I'm really excited about that. I hope you guys, have a great week, and, I will keep you posted on the goings on and my dabbles and babble. And some exciting guests coming soon. So just be along for the ride.